Amen. If you're unashamed of him, would you give him praise? Guys, hang with me just for a minute. Miss Mandy, if you just lay something down nice, just for a minute. I believe the Lord wants to do something special in the next few moments. How many of y'all believe that today? Amen. I'm serious. I don't say things I don't mean. I saw what God did in first service, and I just believe we need to take a minute to just prepare our hearts and the atmosphere, because God's about to do something really amazing. Jesus, we worship you. We love you. We just want to take a second, get still in front of you. We really want to hear your voice today. We really want to shed some of this baloney that we've been carrying so long. We just want you to be big in our lives because you are big. We're not trying to earn it. We're not trying to be good enough for it. We're not doing this because we don't want you to strike us in some way. We just are here today because we love you and we've been loved by you and we're reaching out to you and we need you. We're unashamed today to say we need you. We need you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Hallelujah. Jesus, in the next few moments, God, just be big. Be bigger than we've ever known you. Take us from the height we're at now or the low we're at now to a new place in you. Let revelation knowledge of your word just flow freely in this room. Illuminate our hearts. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Father, you know who's sitting here today and the burdens they came in carrying, but Jesus, I know that you can take that weight off before we walk out. You know the questions that are in hearts today that are being asked, and we're looking for answers. God, I pray that today, I know that in a moment you can give us the answer we've been looking for. You know the bondages that keep us from being the people that you've created us to be. The things we hide from other people, but God, they're exposed to you. Jesus, right now, reach into those areas of our heart and break those chains. God, I pray that we would walk out of this place with our head held higher and our smile brighter. God, I pray that we would radiate your love and your life. God, we acknowledge right now that we're not just going through the motions, but you're real. You're real and you're really here and you really love us. And we're grateful for that today. And as we come before your word, God, we thank you that that is the thing that's going to change us. So give us ears to hear and make room in our hearts to give place to the seed of your word to take root in our lives and produce the harvest you desire. We thank you, Jesus. Satan, we bind you and rebuke you, and we command you to leave right now. And Father, we ask that you open the heavens up over this room. We thank you for the angels that are ministering spirits that you sent to minister to us and for us. I thank you right now that all of heaven has its eyes and attention on this room and every person sitting in it. So God, be big because you are big. We love you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, would you give him praise like he's about to do something incredible? If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. This is the last message in the series we've been doing called The Comeback. And we genuinely believe that all of us go through setbacks for a reason. How many of you have ever been through a setback in life? Every person in this place. But the Bible says in Romans 8, 28, all things, how many things? All things work together for the good of him that love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And so we believe God wants to take our setbacks and turn them into your greatest comeback. And so there's some steps we need to take to see that happen. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, the word says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his," or Jesus' "feet, and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" You know, we still believe in the laying on of hands. The Bible says, "Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Thank God for all four of you who believe it. We believe in laying hands on the sick because the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. No matter what you've seen, no matter what you've heard, no matter what you've experienced, how many of you believe that's what God's word says? Okay. So he said, "Come and lay hands on my daughter that she can be made well and she will live." Verse 24, "So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." They're pressing in on Jesus like a famous person would. If you had Michael Jackson walking through the crowd, everybody's trying to get a piece of him. Verse 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Her issue was this flow of blood that was constantly there for 12 years of her life. Verse 26, "And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." She's done everything she knows how to do. She's gone through a horrible setback, and her situation is getting worse by the day. It's so dark. It's so depressing. And the Bible says in verse 27, "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" Somebody say, "I shall be made well." She said, "I shall be made well." Verse 29, "Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd." Jesus felt the power flow out of him, and he turns around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging or pressing against you and grabbing you, and you're asking, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I love that. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So this woman's life is radically changed in an instant. For 12 years, over a decade, she's gone through this setback. And she experiences a radical change in her life. And here's what I've learned, y'all. I've learned that change is a choice. And I've learned that most people don't experience change because they're not willing to make a change. That all of us want to experience change, but very few of us get to that place. And she did some things differently. She took 5 steps that we're going to take a look at, 5 changes that she made that led to her breakthrough and her comeback. And I believe they're going to do the same thing in your life. I love what John Gleason says. He says, "If nothing changes, nothing changes." And so we've got to make a change to see a change in our life. The first change we've got to make is very simply this. Number one, you got to change what you hear. Somebody say, "Change what you hear." Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I got issues." Right? How many of you can be honest today, if we're being real, you say, "I got issues"? Okay, you got issues. Your neighbor's got issues. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, "I know you got issues too." All of us have issues. This woman's issue was a flow of blood. You got issues in your life, but she changed what she had heard. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, things begin to change in her life. It all begins with hearing about Jesus. She was used to waking up and hearing bad news. She was used to going to the doctor's office and receiving bad news. Negative reports was nothing new to her. She's hearing there is no help for you, there is no hope for you. And so she's living with this constant nagging discouragement. However, there was one morning that something was different. She wakes up the same way she always had, and that was bleeding. But on this day, she hears something that changes her outlook. She hears about Jesus. She hears that there's a healer. She hears that there's somebody with the power to change her. How many of you know today there is somebody with the power to change your issue? There is somebody with the power to break your bondage. There is somebody with the power to meet your need. Amen? There's somebody to take what's wrong and make it right. And all of a sudden, her attitude begins to change. One piece of good news is really all we need to turn things around. And so she hears about Jesus and about what he's doing for others, and her outlook begins to change, and her direction begins to change. And all of a sudden, when she changes what she hears, she begins to dream again. She begins to imagine what her life could be like again. Some of you, that's your story since coming to Victory Church. You come to this place and you're hearing something that's burning in your heart, and it's making you something different than you used to be. The message of this house is making us better than we used to be. Not better than anybody else, but better than myself. And I'm hearing something in the words that come from this pulpit that is awakening the dream God put on the inside of me. It's speaking life to the seeds of potential and possibility and destiny that God's put in us. Why? Because the words I'm sharing with you right now over this microphone are not my words. They're borrowed words. And Jesus said, Dory, the words I speak are spirit and they're life. And that's why when you hear God's word and you come for God's word and you expect God's word, changes begin happening in our lives. And she hears about somebody that had the power to change her. And that's exactly what we're doing every single week. You're hearing about Jesus, and Jesus is hope, and Jesus is joy, and Jesus is life, and Jesus is victory. I got this email I want to share with you. From a lady that said, 2 weeks ago, my husband rocked my world and without warning said he was thinking about divorce. I was and I am devastated. My sister attends your church and sent me the links to listen to the comeback series you've been doing. These messages have helped me tremendously, and I thank God for the opportunity to hear them online. Your church is too far for me to attend. I would ask that you pray for us. He's an unbeliever. I am praying for a miracle for restoration and reconciliation, and I ask that you would pray with me in this. I know God can and will restore us and make us stronger in the end. I'm also asking for strength, peace, and joy that I can only get from God. This setback will be a mighty comeback from God. Can you give God praise for that woman's testimony through the power of these messages? Now that we've patty cake, let's take it a step farther. Let's pray for her situation. How many of you believe God's able to touch her? Amen. Father, we bring this issue to you, and we come into agreement with this precious lady according to your word. You said if any two of us ask anything in your name, you'd do it. So God, we ask that you move in their lives, move in their marriage, move in their hearts. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for restoration. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for a release of your grace, your joy, your peace, and your strength. Satan, we bind you. We bind every attack against this marriage, and we release victory into that situation. God, that you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, can we give God praise for victory in their life? Because we believe it. See, I talk to people all the time, and they share with me how the hearing about Jesus is changing them. I spoke with a woman before first service this morning. She said, I'm 65 years old. And I'm breaking free from the ugliness of insecurity in my life. And I love who I'm becoming. And it's because of the messages I hear in this place. How many of you can say today that there is something that when I hear the word of God, it burns on the inside of me and it begins to paint a picture of a bigger future where I can start expecting and I can start believing? And I didn't used to be able to believe that big, but now I feel like there's a tug inside of me that God wants something bigger and God wants something better and God wants something more beautiful for my life than I could have ever imagined. Amen? So lives are being free because they're hearing about Jesus. She begins to hear about Jesus. That's why we thank you all the time for coming to church. We never take it for granted. The Bible says in the last days, don't forsake coming together with other believers. It's so powerful when we come together and we hear God's word. Number two, you got to change what you see. She changed what she saw. The way she looked at things was different than it had been before. Because she says in verse 28, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now this lady's been sick for 12 years. And all of a sudden she begins to see herself differently. It was a glimpse into that conversation that goes on the inside of us. Y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. How many of you have a conversation that happens on the inside of you? It's okay, you can be honest. We all talk to ourselves, just don't answer back. It's not crazy if you talk to yourself. But there's this conversation that goes on the inside of us, and we get this window into what was going on the inside of her in the conversation. And she said, I shall be made well. I shall be made well. She hears about Jesus, and something begins to rise up on the inside of her. I shall be made well. She could see herself different. Her inner picture had changed. For 12 years, she had been sick. But when she hears about Jesus, she begins to see herself differently. I want to tell you right now that when Jesus comes into your heart and life, you begin to see yourself differently. Because he gives me a brand new identity. That's what's wrong with most of us. It's the way we see ourselves, not the way other people see us. And I want to ask you today, how do you see yourself? She could see herself well. How do you see yourself today? We've got to change the way we look at ourselves. We've got to be able to look into the mirror and love the person looking back. The first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. It's love your neighbor as yourself. The focus is not on my neighbor. It's on me, because if I don't love me, I can't love them, because loved people love people. Changed people change people. Everybody acts the way they do for a reason. I've got to be able to, Chris, look myself in the mirror and love who I see looking back. I've got to look myself in the mirror until the person I see is somebody who's special and somebody who's called and somebody who's chosen and somebody who's destined and somebody who's powerful and somebody created with a purpose, and most of all, somebody who is loved by God and worth the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who I've got to look into the mirror and see looking back at me. I'm going to look at that person until I see Jesus looking back at me, because he's the one living inside of me. Changing what we see. She could see herself free from the bondage and free from the burden that life had placed on her. Free from the restrictions of her affliction. Maybe that's you here today and you've been dealing with it for so long, you just can't even see yourself free. But faith gives me the ability to see beyond my present suffering, to see myself in a place of deliverance. Because God's word says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love him today? I want to tell you today, God's future for you is so amazing, you can't even begin to imagine it. That's why he had to send the Holy Spirit, so that he could paint the picture for you. You begin to see yourself well, and you begin to see yourself whole and not a fraction of a person anymore, not a broken person anymore, not an outsider looking in, but an insider that's able to go and bring somebody else inside. You start seeing yourself living in victory and see yourself living with hope and see yourself happy and see yourself walking in peace and see yourself smiling again and worthy again and connected again, and you see yourself as somebody. I love that. Who said that? You're busted. Stand up. Say that again real loud. Say it again real loud. Say it again real loud. She said, I'm a somebody. Come on, we're all going to say, you, come here. We're all going to say it with you. All right? I want you to say it real loud.
I'm a somebody.
And we're going to say it back to her. You ready? All right, go.
I'm a somebody.
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 Are you sure?
Yeah.
Say it like you mean it.
I'm a somebody.
I'm a somebody. Y'all give her a big hand. Thank you, baby. See, she changed the way she saw herself. Number one, you got to change what you hear. Number two, you got to change what you're seeing. Number three, you got to change what you're saying. Look at your neighbor and tell them to change their words. Change your words. See, the Bible says in verse 27 that she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She says that on the inside of herself. She's talking to herself just like you do. After she hears about Jesus, faith begins to rise in her heart, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus was the word made flesh. So when she hears about Jesus, she hears about the word, Maria. And all of a sudden, she begins talking to herself, because faith is rising in her heart. And the Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, that out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth begins to speak. And so the words start coming up out of her heart and out of her mouth. And it's a reflection of the faith on the inside. And she begins to project what she expects. I shall be made well. I want to tell somebody today that when you go through a setback, you got to change what you're saying. Because you can't sit back when you face a setback. And that's what this woman did. She didn't set back through her setback. She said, I shall be made well. I shall be healed. I shall be free from this flow of blood. And you got to say to yourself today, I shall be happy again. I shall be free of this addiction again. I shall be free of this affliction in Jesus' name. I shall be healed. I shall be anointed with joy. I shall walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding. I shall be able to love others with a pure heart. I shall be able to forgive and receive forgiveness. I shall be successful, and I shall be everything God created me to be. I'm going to open my mouth and declare it. Why? Because faith is rising in our heart, and it's time to stop being silent against the lies of the enemy and say, devil, I shall be in the name of Jesus Christ, not because of me, but because of him. She changed what she was saying. You got to say something different. She stopped saying, I'm sick, and she started saying, I shall be made well. She stopped saying, I'm bleeding, and she started saying, I shall be made well. She stopped saying, I'm hopeless, and she started saying, I am hopeful that today is going to be my day of change. She said, I'm going to change my tongue, and I'm going to move in a new direction for my life. Because the Bible says your tongue is like the steering wheel of your car. It's like a rudder on a ship. It points you in a direction. It points you towards sickness or health. It points you towards life or death. It points you towards living on purpose in a life that's pointless. It points you toward hearing at the end of your days, wasted or well done. It points you towards victory or defeat, success or failure, poverty or plenty. We cannot rise above the level of our conversation. We can't say this marriage is never going to work. We can't say nothing good ever happens to me. We can't say I'll never amount to anything. We can't say God could never do that in my life. What we've just done is we've literally tied the hands of God. But she begins to say, I shall be made well. Because once I've made up my mind on the inside, how I see myself and what I believe, and I choose my words, not even God can help me at that point. I've got to make up my mind to come into agreement with what God says. I've got to release God and not limit him. I don't want to put limits on God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine that? You have the power to limit the God of the universe through what we choose to believe, through what we choose to say. And she started speaking life to her possibility, and she said, I shall be made well. She changes what she says. Number four this morning, you got to change your direction. You got to change your direction. In other words, you got to change the way you're going. See, life had been going the same way for 12 years for this woman. For 12 years, everything's going in the same direction. And y'all know that when things go in the same direction for that long, we just get used to it, right? And we expect tomorrow to be a lot like today. But she changed her direction. She said, I'm going to move in a new direction. She said, I'm going to move towards Jesus. She started moving in the direction of God. And that's what he needs us to do. He needs to start moving closer to him. Just by coming to church today, you made a decision this morning that I'm going to move in the direction of God. Amen? Could you give God praise that we get to be here together today? You made a decision to move in the direction of God. How many of you read your Bible at some point this week? Okay, you made a decision to move in the direction of God. How many of you took time to pray this week? You made a decision to move in the direction of God. She was moving towards God. She closed the gap between where God was and where she was. She took steps to draw near to Jesus. And what I love about that is what we do now depends on what God does next. We can be as close to God as we want to be. I hope if you don't hear anything else I say today, I hope you hear that. You can be as close to God as you want to be. This story teaches us that we can move to God. And when we do, it gets God's attention. And God looks at us and he begins to move in our life. God turns his eyes to you when you move towards him. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When you take steps towards God, God begins taking steps back towards us. And the more steps I take towards him, the more steps he takes towards me. And the more steps I take towards him, the more steps he takes towards me until we meet in the middle. Amen? And when we meet in the middle, it's an incredible time. He wants to move in your situation. See, pursuing God is the proof that you have a desire for Him on the inside. This lady got up, she got dressed, she put on her shoes, and she moved in a new direction. She began moving in the direction of her change. She began moving toward her victory. She began moving toward her healing. She began moving toward Jesus. She didn't sit back through her setback. She didn't say, well, I'm waiting on God to touch me, and I'm waiting on God to heal me, and I'm waiting on God to fix my problem, and I'm waiting on God to change my situation. She didn't say, if it's God's will that I be healed, then He'll do it. She didn't say, if it's God's will my life be changed, then He'll do it. She didn't say, if it's God's will that this issue be gone, then He'll take care of it. No, when Jesus didn't come to her, she went to Him. She got up, she got dressed, she moved out, she pressed through the crowd, she crawled over the top of everybody else, and she said, I'm coming through. You got to look out. I need to get to my miracle. There's something over here that I got to get to. Pardon me, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push you, but I got to get to Jesus. I don't care what culture has said, I don't care what religion has said, I don't care what's holding me back. I don't care about my past. I don't care about the fact that it was a sexually transmitted disease that caused me to have a flow of blood. I got to get through this crowd because I got to get to Jesus. I don't care. I can see the desperation on the inside of her as she began moving through the crowd. She's like, I don't care about you, and I don't care about you, and I don't care about you or you. I got to get to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I got to start moving in the direction of God. I'm looking for somebody who sat back for too long and said, that's somebody else's blessing. And they say, today I'm running to Jesus. That kind of faith is what gets God's attention. You hear me? How many of you have a need in your life today? Every person in this room. What makes you think that crowd was any different? Nothing. They were just like us. Why did her need get met and none of theirs did? She ran to Jesus. There's got to be a desperation on the inside of us. I'm convinced we're too loose with our walk with God. There's got to be something on the inside of us that says, I need you more than my next breath. Jesus, I need you and I want you and I love you and I'm coming after you because I see that you came after me. When I couldn't get to you, you came to me. You left heaven and came to earth to come after me. And so God, the least I can do is I can hit my knees and I can run to you. The least I can do is open up my Bible and I can run to you. The least I can do is be in your house and I can run to you because I believe you have the power to change my situation. Would y'all give Him a praise while I catch my breath? That was gracious of you. Good night, John. A year ago, I'd have dropped over dead and needed oxygen and a concession stand. The things I do to show y'all a point. Number five, you got to change your connection. You got to change what you're connected to. Your attachment. She said, if only I can touch Him. If only I can touch Him, I'll be well. The word touch, Terry, means literally to attach yourself. There are some here today and you're attached to the wrong things and you know it. And I didn't come here to tell you where you're wrong. I came here to tell you how to be right. Nobody knows where we miss it more than we do. Isn't that right? But you're in a place today where you're loved and where the Holy Spirit wants to produce change in our life. And He doesn't want to make us more like the person next to you. He wants to make us more like Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm okay with that, Brad, because I'm okay with whatever Jesus is. I want to be like Him. I don't know everything about Him yet. I'm still learning, but I know this. I like everything I've seen so far. How many of y'all agree with that? I want to be like Jesus. And so she said, if I only I can attach myself to Jesus. Many times we're attached to the wrong things. We're attached to relationships that we know aren't right. We're attached to earthly possessions so much that it drags us out of the will of God, and material things become more important to us. We're attached to our careers too tightly, not realizing I wasn't created to make a living. I was created to make a difference. And I work for Jesus more than my employer. I just collect my paycheck from there. Sometimes we're attached to things that have happened in our past, a trauma, something we went through that should have never happened, but we're hanging on to it because, to be honest with you, we don't know how to do life anymore without it. And it's just become a way of doing things, and it's easier for us to hang on than it is for us to let it go. And so she's saying, I got to get to Jesus. Because the reality, y'all, is there were some cultural things that kept her from going to the Lord. It was illegal for a woman who had a flow of blood to be in a crowd because they considered her unclean. It was even more illegal for her to touch a man. She could have been stoned for what she had done. And she said, you know what? I'm either going to die from this issue or I'm going to die from going to Jesus, but I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm going to attach myself to him. And maybe you're here today and say, Josh, yeah, I've got issues in my life, but unlike this lady, I can't touch Jesus. Oh, my friend, I beg to differ. Prayer touches Jesus.
That's right.
It's the reason why he died, so that you can come talk to Daddy, yeah, to bring us back into relationship. Spending time in his word touches his heart. Praise touches the heart of God. Your generosity today touches the heart of God. Your sacrifice, your obedience, coming to church touches the heart of God. She said, I'm not going to wait on God to touch me. I'm going to reach out and touch him. We can be as close to God as we want to be. And we've got to grab hold of Jesus like our life depends on it. Because the Apostle Paul said it like this, in him I live and I move and I have my being. And so we've got to have that desperation on the inside of us that I need him more than my next breath. I need him more than my next heartbeat. I need Jesus. And on that day, she made a connection and she said, today is the day of my salvation. Today is the day I shall be made well. Today is the day of my healing. She said, this is my day and this is my time and this is my promise, and he's my Messiah and he's my Savior and he's my healer and he's my baptizer and he's my deliverer and he's my redeemer and he's my restorer. And he's my rebuilder, and he's my rewarder, and he's my hero, and he's my hope, and he's my author, and he's my finisher, and he's gonna finish the good work that he began on the inside of me. And she ran to Jesus with an expectation. Come on, it's time to stop being a spiritual beggar and say, God, here I am. Take all of me and use me for your glory. Stay on your feet if you would. She made these five changes. Watch this. Here's the end result. The end result is she got God's attention. She got God's attention. And here's what she says. She moves to Jesus. He heals her. He says, who touched me? Imagine it. Imagine, Joanne, a crowd like at a Michael Jackson concert in his prime in the 80s. I mean, they were crazy. They're passing out. They're screaming their lungs out. They're grabbing for him. They're tearing his clothes off. I mean, I can hear them doing that with Jesus, Mike. Tearing pieces of Jesus' robe off and then going and putting it on eBay to sell it. They're bottling up Jesus' sweat like Elvis's. You know, you can buy Elvis' sweat. And they're pressing in on Jesus, and Jesus stops in the middle of this crowd and he's like, whoa, who touched me? And the disciples are, wait just a minute. You've said some stuff that's out there, but this is really out there. They're all touching you, Jesus. Light bulb. And Jesus said, no. Somebody touched me. There's one person, because I felt the power go out of me. Just like when you plug into an electric socket and it releases power, Grace. He said, somebody plugged into who I am. Somebody plugged into me. Somebody plugged into my love. Somebody plugged into my joy. Somebody plugged into my anointing. I am the Christ. I am the one who's able. I am your source. And I want you to come and look to me. Somebody's going to plug into Jesus this morning. And it was that woman, and he finds her and he looks at her and he says, you're a somebody to me. For 12 years, Kim, she's been living in the shadows. She's been hiding. She's been hurting. She's a social outcast. And somebody looks her in the eyes and says, you matter to me. Y'all know how good that must have felt? There's somebody here today that's hurting, and you feel like God hasn't seen your issue. And he sent me here today to tell you, I see exactly what you're going through, and I am bigger than what you're facing, and my power is greater than your problem. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you can say today, I've got issues and I need Jesus to fix them? I've got an issue in my life and I need Jesus to move in my situation. All across this room. Now let me ask this, you can put your hand down. How many of you believe that if you reach out to Jesus, he's able to take care of it? Come on, would you give him praise right now? Just one more time, I'm about to pray for you, and I want to see who I'm praying for. Raise your hand up if you say, I have an issue and I need Jesus to come and fix my situation. I've wrestled all morning. I almost did it first service, and I almost did it this morning with you now. And that was to call you down front, lay hands on you, and transfer the power of God into you and into your situation. The reason why I'm not, listen to this very closely, is because this story is about how to get to God for yourself. And as I've shared the word with you, faith has risen up on the inside of you. And I want you to see right now that you have what it takes to get your need met. Somebody say, I have what it takes. Okay, everybody just lift both hands as a sign of surrender. Babies do it to say, Mom, here I am. Dad, here I am. Father, here we are. And in the name of Jesus, you know every need represented. You know every issue. God, I know some of them too, and I know how big they are. But God, I know that you're bigger. And so we speak to the mountain that stands in the way right now. In the name of Jesus, we command it to be removed. I want every person to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I give you my issue. I bring it to you. I release it to you. Jesus, the price you paid is more than enough for victory in this issue and in every area of my life. Right now, I declare you are Lord over this situation that is troubling me. You said to cast my cares on you because you care about me. Right now, in obedience to your word, I cast my care, I cast my issue, I cast my addiction, I cast my disease, I cast my depression, I cast my debt upon you, and I thank you for victory at Calvary. And right now, I receive it by faith. Lift the burden, break the chains, release your power into me. I attach myself to you right now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise right now? I believe it's done. 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 I believe when he said it's finished, he meant it. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe it's done. Hallelujah to the Lamb.